Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. If you're an unmarried person tonight, listen very carefully. We're within this lesson, you're going to be learning the importance of separation in life and getting with the right crowd. It will be applied toward marriage very strongly, but every person in this house, whether they're a young person that's never married, an older person that's never married, someone that's not married at this time or divorced, let me explain to you, there's a right and a wrong in life, especially when it comes to the right kind of people and the wrong kind of people that you spend time with. And so it will apply to everybody. Sometimes I worry, I go to talk about marriage and all the single people say, oh, this doesn't apply to me. But it does. Specifically, it does. I could take the marriage concept out of this and teach this lesson, and it would be for every single person without a doubt. We are going to emphasize marriage in the lesson. Ephesians chapter 5. If you would, stand with me real quick. It won't take but a moment. I'm going to read out loud, starting at Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 25. Remember, the lesson is called Marriage and Your Relationship with the Wrong Crowd. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." If you look back at me, in the Bible, Jesus Christ is seen as the groom, and the Christian is seen as the bride. And then God uses that concept, and he teaches us many, many things. And we're going to talk about the importance of the staying away from the wrong crowd in our marital relationships. And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Holy Spirit, use this lesson to help me. Use this lesson to help every person that hears the lesson. Lord, many will sit in these pews tonight and hear the sermon. There are those that will get a CD of it and listen to it. There are yet others, hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands, that will listen to it via the internet. I pray, God, that you will help people and help us to be warned about the wrong crowd. In a special way, speak to our married people, those that are contemplating marriage, the older teenagers, but then, Lord, all of us, might we be better because we came to church tonight and be challenged by the teaching of the Word of God, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Here in the passage of Scripture that I just read to you, God tells husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. What a big order. Wow. You talk about, boy, did Jesus love the church. We could go on and on about that all night. But God tells husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. God tells us that Christ wanted the church to be sanctified. Now, the word sanctified means set apart. This microphone right here is set apart. This is set apart for a specific purpose. This microphone is not used to sing rock and roll music. It's sanctified. This microphone is not used for Christian rock music. It's sanctified. This microphone is not used for country music. It's sanctified. This microphone is not used for someone to curse over the mic. It's sanctified. Sanctified means set apart for a service to God. God said, I want my church to be sanctified, set apart, separate, different, used for a holy purpose. There are things with which the church should not associate. Now, we're to be different. We're to be set apart. The church should fellowship with things that make it pure. The church should not yoke up with the wrong crowd or wrong associations. Now, the very same warning, even within the passage that we just read, was being given to marriages. He's talking about us, the church being sanctified, cleansed, purified. He's then comparing Christ's relationship with the church to the bride and groom, and we are to sanctify our homes. They're to be set apart. They're to be different for a holy purpose. Of course, inside our home, then, is the relationship of marriage. And so we're to sanctify our marriages. They're to be separate from some things. There are some things that our marriages should not be participating in. There's a purity that ought to be striven for in a marriage, set apart from anything that would hurt the marriage. Just like we are set apart in the church from anything that would hurt the church. Remember, the sermon is called Marriage and Your Relationship with the Wrong Crowd. This lesson, it's good for people that have been married 30, 40, 50 years. It's good for somebody who's been married for 6 months. And I'll promise you again, it's good. Those of you that are contemplating or thinking about marriage, you want to listen. But you know, children, let me tell you something. Someone does not decide to get married and then figure out what it's all about and get married a couple months later. Marriage is a process that you're to prepare for all the way through your youth, through your childhood years, and into your teenage years and into your young adult years. You're always preparing for this relationship. God wants His church, and if you were listening there, He uses these words there in Ephesians chapter 5. He said that He might present it to Himself a glorious church. Now remember, there's a comparison going on between the bride and groom and God and His people. And He says about the church, He said He wants the church to be a glorious church. Can I tell you something? Most people would not use this term, but I think God wants our marriages to be glorious. You say, what does that mean? I think God wants our marriages to glorify Him. I think God wants the church to glorify Him. And then there would probably be a whole lot of other secondary definitions of glorious. But obviously, we see the root word glory in there. Our marriage ought to glorify God. Our church ought to glorify God. And so, He's talking, though, about the sanctifying of the church and comparing it to the sanctifying of a marriage. And He is saying there are some things that a marriage ought not be participating in. And it has to do with yoking up with the wrong things. And that's what Ephesians chapter 5, if you look at verse 25, 26, 27, and so forth, you're going to see the comparison and the teaching that's going on there. Now, what I want to do, let me tell you right off the bat, the wrong crowd, you get to associating with the wrong crowd in your marriage, you will not have a glorious marriage. You won't glorify God in your marriage. Now, I'm going to talk to you about some different situations in the Bible where people's marriages were affected by their wrong association, getting involved with the wrong people. Number one, the wrong crowd hurt Jehoram and Athaliah. The wrong crowd hurt Jehoram and Athaliah. I'm going to read to you from 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 5 and 6. Listen very carefully. It says, Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. And he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I'm going to show you that the wrong crowd hurt Jehoram and his wife, Athaliah. Jehoram married a lady by the name of Athaliah. Now, I got to give you a little background and a little history, but the two that we're interested in are Jehoram and Athaliah. They're a married couple. Jehoram was the son of Jehoshaphat. He was a king. Athaliah was the daughter of a man named Ahab. In 1 Kings chapter 22, if we went there, we're not going to, but in 1 Kings 22, verse 3 and 4, Ahab was the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. Those two kings formed a friendship in order to possess a land called Ramoth of Gilead. Their children ended up married as a result of that friendship, but I need you to understand, it was a bad friendship. It should have never happened. They were never supposed to be running around together and doing things together. The lady named Athaliah, I use the term lady, she wasn't much of a lady. Athaliah was reared by Ahab and his wicked wife. Does anybody know the name of Ahab's wife? Jezebel. People don't name their daughters Jezebel. They name their broken down car Jezebel. I don't think they name it. That's what they call it when it breaks down. Oh my. Athaliah was reared by Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel. Athaliah was virtually raised by a Jezebel. Athaliah and Jehoram had a son. His name was Ahaziah. What ends up happening is eventually Ahaziah becomes king, and then Ahaziah in 2 Chronicles 22:9 is slain by a man named Jehu. When Ahaziah's mother Athaliah heard of her death, she immediately had all her grandchildren murdered. And the reason why is, and you all have heard me make this application and tell this story before, but all the boys in that family could have been heir to Ahaziah's throne. So grandma said, I will have all those grand boys murdered because she wanted to be in charge. She immediately had all the grandchildren, all the boys, murdered. She wanted power. She wanted the inheritance. She wanted to lead the country. You understand, Ahab's daughter murders her grandchildren and his great-grandchildren, all as a result of a bad relationship between Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Folks, I think everybody here, every married couple here, you need to realize your associations are going to affect your family. You need good friendships and associations in your marriage for the sake of your marriage. But you need good friendships and associations in your marriage for the sake of your children. You need good friendships and associations in your marriage for the sake of your grandchildren. You need good friendships and associations in your marriage for the sake of your great-grandchildren. Listen, it's a very, very sad thing to me that these two men, Ahab and Jehoshaphat, they yoked up together, and as a result of it, they ruined their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren, all because of the crowd that they were spending time with. Can you imagine facing the fact that your daughter murdered your grandchildren as a result of one of your friendships? And that's what happened here. Now, teenagers, listen, you ought to run with the right crowd. And boy, you hear that all the time. But parents, let me tell you, preacher gets up and the youth director gets up and says to the teenagers, spend time with the right kind of people. I think adults need to hear this just as much as teenagers need to hear it. Now, I was telling them in the Sunday school teachers meeting earlier as we were preparing for the Sunday school lesson of this Sunday, and I said, association doesn't mean that you climb in a car with someone necessarily. That's not the only type of association you can have in life. You have associations at work, and you have associations online, and you have associations through social media. You have association through the books that you read and what you listen to. But I just have to tell you, it's a for sure thing that the wrong crowd hurt Jehoram and Athaliah. Two dads got together, formed a unity. It affected children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren to the point that grandchildren and great-grandchildren were slaughtered, murdered, because a mom and dad wanted to spend time with somebody they shouldn't have been with. They had set a terrible example. And it affected them. Be careful. Whether we like it or not, folks, Christians are supposed to practice separation in life. There's separation in life. That's why he said in Ephesians chapter 5 when he was talking about the husband and wife, husbands, love your wives. Then he said he wants the relationship sanctified. Remember, this microphone set apart. Every marriage here should be set apart, and you ought to guard your marriage and your associations and your friendships, because it's to be a glorious marriage. That it means it's to glorify God. So the wrong crowd definitely hurts Jehoram and Athaliah to the point of murdered children, grandchildren. What chaos! Secondly, the wrong crowd hurt Abraham and Sarah. Again, I'll give you a little background and a little history. In Genesis chapter 12, verse number 8, Abraham was in a place called Bethel. Now, if you've all been listening to the Sunday school lesson the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about Bethel, the house of God. So, it's the house of God. It's also called the house of bread. It's where the Word of God, the bread of the Word of God, is available. Of course, Jesus is the bread of life. And so in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 8, Abraham is in Bethel. In Genesis chapter 12, verse number 10, two verses later, a famine comes. In the second part of the verse, Abraham leaves the house of bread and he goes down into Egypt. Now, folks, you always need to remember this. When the Bible starts talking about people going down, most of the time, it's a spiritual sign that they are declining. They're going backwards. You know, if someone's passing away and someone asks you, how are they doing? And you might say they're going down. They're going down. That means they're getting closer and closer to death. There's more deterioration. They're losing it. Now, Abraham started out in Bethel, which is the house of God. He goes down into Egypt. Egypt is a picture of the world in the worst way in the Bible. He moves his marriage away from the house of bread. You know what they were looking for? Bread. There was a famine. Bethel is the house of bread. So he moves away from the house of bread to go find bread. And you say, ah, he's silly. You and I do the same silly things in life. But he moves his marriage and his family away from the house of God, searching for something better. Now, when you get to Genesis chapter 12, and remember, in Genesis 12, 8, he lived in Bethel. By the time you get to Genesis chapter 12, verse 13, five verses later, he lies to his new associations and says that his wife Sarah is actually his sister. Now, when folks, when you're to the point where you're with a crowd where you have to lie about who your wife is and you're not claiming her as your wife, surely an antenna ought to go up and someone ought to say, I shouldn't be here. What am I doing? Why in the world would I have to do that? If you need to be around anybody where you can't claim your husband and you can't claim your wife and you deny that he's yours or you deny that she's yours, you're in trouble. You ought not be running with that sort of a situation. But he's got himself in a bad situation. He's actually telling someone, this is my sister. He shouldn't have been there. He should have kept himself separate. So he lies and he says, Sarah is my sister. Now, I can't imagine that going over well with Sarah. And even if he said, I'm trying to protect you. If Mrs. Owens heard me saying to some beautiful woman, nah, this is my sister, she'd pull my hair out. They'd know in a moment she was my sister because she'd be beating on me like a sister beats up her brother. But honestly, I don't see how she would tolerate that. Do you think that was real good for their marriage, that he was denying that they were married? No, it wasn't. Now, a couple chapters later, get this. Remember, they were in God's will. They were in the house of God. Now they go down into Egypt. This husband and wife go down and they start associating with people that they should not be associating with. And by verse 16, Sarah suggests that her husband sleep with another woman. She suggested it. Abraham ends up sleeping with Hagar. And you know that he would have never even known that a Hagar existed if they wouldn't have been in the wrong associations. Right. What in the world would cause a woman to say, go ahead and sleep with another woman? I'm going to guess she got in some philosophy there that wasn't good. You say, well, Pastor, you know, there are some blessings that came out of all that. Well, we can always figure out how to get something good out of the messes that we create. But I have to tell you something. That would have never happened. And if you know anything about the chaos and the jealousy and everything that was created by that right there, you say, where did that come from? Wrong associations. He got into town. He had to start lying to people right away about his marriage. A little while later, she is corrupted enough to where she says, go ahead and take my handmaid and have a baby with her. In Genesis chapter 16, verse number 15, it says, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name Ishmael. Ishmael became the father. So what happens is Abraham has a baby with his wife's handmaid, and Ishmael is his name. Ishmael became the father of all the Arabic nations of the world today. Every time you watch the gas prices go up to $2, $3 a gallon, you can trace it back to the fact that somebody in their marriage was associating with the wrong people, and an illegitimate child was produced. Ishmael is the father of the Arabic nations. And we could go on and on and on, and I could tell you all the trouble that's caused us. We have security everywhere all around the world because of that mess right there. The terrorism that plights the world today comes from Ishmael, the descendant of an adulterous situation that came because a husband and wife didn't have the good sense to stay away from the wrong crowd. They left the house of God and went down into the world, and look at the mess we have today. You say, oh, that's caused by politics. It was caused by a husband and wife that didn't know how to separate from the wrong crowd. That's where it came from. So Abraham commits adultery. Wow. Let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell you something that you got to be really careful of. You ever move away from the right kind of church? I don't believe it would ever be God's will for you to move away from the right kind of a church and go somewhere where there's not the right kind of a church. I happen to believe you ought to stay here anyway. But I would rather be in a good church and have a bad job and have a good family than to have a bad church with a good job and screw up your family. You all think that I'm weird, and because I'm the pastor, I think this way. But your decisions in life ought to be made around the Word of God and the right kind of a church. Protect your marriage. Stay in the good crowd. Stay in the right crowd. Watch the wrong crowd. Hey, even within the church, there are people that don't love the Lord like they're supposed to. I think we ought to be friendly to everybody, but I don't think we ought to be best friends with everybody. So, this story of Abraham and Sarah turned into a royal mess. What did they do? They started associating with the wrong crowd. They got themselves involved with the wrong crowd. The whole story about Athaliah and Jehoram and the murdering of grandchildren and grandbabies, all is the result of the wrong crowd. Marriages that got messed up, children marry, we make a mess of things to come. Then there's another story. There's a story in the Bible about a lady by the name of Vashti and her husband Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus. I'm going to read to you from the book of Esther. Esther chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this is Ahasuerus which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces, that in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, that whole story is telling us about a man by the name of Ahasuerus, he was a king, and his wife Vashti. Let me tell you the story. This king, Ahasuerus, had a wife named Vashti. Her nickname, the name Vashti means sweet or sweet, probably called her sweetie pie, something to that effect. She was a very beautiful woman. Ahasuerus wanted to conquer more lands, and he calls together leaders from around the area, and he hosts a party. It turned into a drunken party. And what he's doing is, this is what he does for a living. He's the king, and he wants to conquer, and he wants to achieve, and he wants to be more successful. And he gets this big party together with all the male leaders and their wives. The ladies are having one party as they're being wined and dined. And Ahasuerus has all the men in another party. And they're having this great big drunken party because he wants to talk all those men into helping him to conquer more land, which will make him more powerful and make him more rich. It'll give him more money. It'll give him more influence. And so, while the men are drunk, he calls his wife and he says, I'd like for you to come dance for the men. Now, so you all know, the scripture does not specifically say this, but I really have no doubt in my mind he wanted her to come and do a striptease. Yeah, I don't think he wanted her to just come and shuffle for a moment in front of all those men. There was far more to that. Well, Vashti, the queen, she said, I am not going to go over and disrobe in front of those men. So he kicks her out of the kingdom. And all of his associates, they agreed with it. They said, that's right. You let that woman rebel against you like that. All our wives are going to rebel. Well, any man that would ask his wife to strip down naked in front of a bunch of other people, she ought to obey God first. But that's what happened. You know what? Ahasuerus was spending time with the wrong crowd. He was spending time with the wrong crowd. And it destroyed his marriage. You understand that that woman was doing right. And in doing right, the Bible almost gives the impression that he fired her. You know, you don't get to be the queen anymore. That's equivalent to he divorced her and sent her up the river and said, I'll go get me another one. Marriage is not a disposable thing. It's not how it's supposed to work. But that's what happened. The wrong crowd surely made a mess of that marriage. They shouldn't have never been where they were at, doing what they were doing, associating with those kind of people. And this is what he did, if you will. This is what he did for a living. He was a king, and he was trying to succeed. He was trying to get more land. Let me tell everybody here, be careful with the people you work with in regard to your marriage. I have to tell you, most of the time, most Christian people need to go to work, get in there, get your work, and get out of there. You don't need the filthy talk at work. You don't need the filthy associations at work. My experience in Christians working in the secular world, you get in, you get out, you need to get out of there before you're influenced and you start acting like them, talking like them, behaving like them. And for the sake of your marriage, be careful at work. Here's a guy that he let what work wanted affect his marriage to the point that he lost his wife. Your best friends, unless you've got friends at work that are old-fashioned Baptist, sold-out, King James Bible soul-winning people, unless that's what your friends are at work, those shouldn't be your best friends at work then. Your best friends ought to be people that believe right, people that act right. Work associates have been the downfall of many Christians. You say, why? I'll tell you why. Because if you work 40 hours a week, that means that you spend 2,080 hours a year with your workmates. 2,080 hours a year you spend with lost people, and in most cases, liberal Christians, if they're even Christian at all, religious people. And I know, if they're religious, you communicate with them and you spend a little time with them. But I got news for you. They're still liberal. They're still liberal. So might I say, if you spend 2,080 hours a year with that group at work, you better guard yourself. Because in Ahasuerus' case, he got spending so much time with all those work associates, he destroyed his marriage. The whole lesson tonight is about your relationship in marriage, and how your relationships are going to affect the success of your marriage. And let me tell you also, every man, every woman here, make sure that you practice spiritual propriety with the opposite sex at work. Every wife ought to know that her husband can go to work wherever he works and that he's going to be true to her and he's not going to go down to the office, down to the shop, or wherever he is going and be flirtatious and be immoral. Your wife ought to have that confidence when you go to work. And those of you that are ladies, when you go to work, your husband ought not be worried about you going to work and flirting and being inappropriate when you're at work. I worked secularly for years. I have to tell you, probably 9 out of 10 non-work hour extracurriculars that the businesses or the companies I work for, I could not go to them because at those extracurriculars, their parties and their get-togethers, the language, the music, the alcohol, and the immorality made it a place that a good Christian could not go. So what happened was they all looked at me like I was a stick in the mud. So you're looking at old Owen Stick in the Mud, because I was not about to destroy my family or my testimony by going partying with the people at work. And so, I bring this up because I couldn't tell you how many husbands and wives have some rough times because they're worried about their mate's behavior at work. You had better remember, you're to be sanctified in your marriage, set apart, separated from the world. And look, if you got to tell dirty jokes at work to make it, get you another job. If you got to go along with all the sexual comments and everything at work to be able to work there, I guess I'd just get me another job. I would rather rent a home and not have a fancy car, but be moral and decent and keep my marriage and keep my family together than to destroy my family trying to associate with people at work that want to destroy me. So the lesson is marriage and your relationship with the wrong crowd. The wrong crowd hurt Jehoram and Athaliah to the point of the death of grandchildren and great-grandchildren. The wrong crowd hurt Abraham and Sarah to the point of adultery and lying about who belongs to who and this is my sister. The wrong crowd hurt Vashti and Ahasuerus to the point where a man had lost it, where he's asking his wife to show off her body to his work associates, and boy, they deteriorated and she gets ran out of the kingdom when she was doing the right thing. Let me give you one more. But this is a long one. Number four, the wrong crowd hurt Naomi and Elimelech. Wrong associations hurt Naomi and Elimelech. I'll read to you from Ruth chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. They lived in a place called Bethlehem, Judah. They were good people. I believe they had a good marriage. I think it was a strong marriage, living in Bethlehem, Judah. And they left and went to Moab and got into the wrong crowd." The Bible even says they went to sojourn in Moab. They said, "Well, we're not going to stay. We'll just go visit." Folks, if somebody had a snake pit and said, "Wouldn't you just visit and go walk through it a little bit, but don't stay?" You'd say, "I'm not going to get in a snake pit for just a moment." Then don't go to the wrong place for just a moment, because there's a snake out there. There's a roaring lion out there seeking whom he may devour. So husband and wife said, "You know what? We're going to get out of the Lord's will, and we're going to leave the right situation. We're going to begin to associate with these wrong people." They had two sons, one named Mahlon, the other one's name was Chilion. Mahlon and Chilion. So Naomi is the wife, the husband is Elimelech. They have two boys, Mahlon and Chilion, and they are going to associate with wrong people. If you did a study, it wouldn't take you but a moment to find out the people of Moab were the wrong people. Wrong people all over the place. Well, the two sons married two women, one named Orpah and the other was Ruth. So Mahlon and Chilion got them a couple of wives. But wait a minute. They are now associating with the wrong people. They're in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. And Elimelech, he dies. And I don't mean that he was 90 years old and he died. He was still in his middle years and he dies. Then what happens? Both of her sons die. You say, from what? They decided to associate with the wrong people. They should have never been where they were at. They were in the wrong place with the wrong people. And Naomi, by herself, basically gathers the strength to try to get herself back into the will of God. And she said, I need to get back to Bethlehem, Judah. When she gets back there, she walked into town and everybody said, who are you? She said, well, I'm Naomi. And they said, oh, we just did not recognize you. And you want to know why? Well, you get out of the will of God, lose your spouse, lose your kids to death because you got out of the will of God. I'm going to guess that'll wear a woman out. Been backslidden and away from God all that time. Young people, let me tell you something. The greatest beauty aid in the world is a moral, decent life, staying right with God. That'll keep you beautiful for a long time. You want to be ugly? You just go ahead and live any way you want. You live for your flesh. I don't say this to offend anybody, but I was recently, my wife and I, we went to visit our hometown. And we seen somebody there that was our age, and I kid you not, they looked like they were about 90 years of age. Why? They lived a different lifestyle than what we did. Their life, you could tell by the way her face looked and the way she carried herself that the devil had shaken her life and tore her to shreds, and she was just barely making it. That's not how it is for Christians. The beauty aid of life is purity and honesty and goodness. Naomi got back into town after her husband died while they were away from the will of God, and both of her sons died while they were away from the will of God. And when she got back in town, nobody even recognized her. And in a lady's opinion, when everybody thinks you're ugly, she feels like she might as well go ahead and be dead too. Because a woman's beauty means a lot to her. What happened? Well, they left right association and went to wrong association. That's what it cost them. Be careful now. When you join the wrong crowd, you may come back to God without something. So I'll get back to God. Well, I know a lot of people want to get back to God, but they lost their mate in the process, or they lost their child in the process, or they lost their purity in the process. Don't get with that wrong crowd. The wrong crowd separates marriages, not makes them better. The wrong crowd somehow, you know, here's what I've discovered. Anytime somebody loses a mate, somebody out there, the wrong crowd got involved and influenced that thing in some way. If nothing else, the devil's the wrong crowd. Now, I'm finished except for I want to make an application. To those of you that are not married, let me give you a warning. Those of you, listen boys, look right up here and listen. Okay? Those of you that are unmarried, I want to give you a little warning. I'm going to give you a little story and make an application, and then we'll be done. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, a man by the name of David slew a giant named Goliath. In 1 Samuel 18, women sang about David's great victory. There was a king at that time that became jealous over David's great victory. His name was Saul. Saul wanted to kill David. He tried once, threw a javelin at him, but missed. Well, Saul had a daughter named Michal. And she was a bad influence. Saul said, you know what? I couldn't kill David with the javelin. I'll just give him my daughter. Because she was bad news. And the Bible actually tells us that Saul gives David his daughter, Michal, to be a snare unto him. And David accepts because that was Saul's daughter. Michal was a spoiled brat. She probably looked good physically, but smelled bad spiritually. In 1 Samuel chapter 19, Michal, David's wife now, lies. We find out that there comes a point when the Ark of the Covenant, and I won't go into all this, but the Ark of the Covenant, which was very, very precious, had been stolen by the Philistines. The thing called the Ark of the Covenant meant very much to David. And when the Ark of the Covenant, which had been stolen, is brought back, David is rejoicing, and he's all pumped up, and he's praising God. He's saying, the Ark of the Covenant's back. And his wife, Michal, mocks him and badmouths him because he loves the Lord so much. Now, young people, you listen to me. You marry wrong, your mate will mock you someday when you want to serve God. To the single, listen, if they don't want to serve God now, what makes you think they're going to want to serve God after you get married? If they don't want to do right now, you say, well, I'll doctor them up. That's not how it works. You don't take a good apple and put it into a basket full of bad apples, and that good apple removes the bruises and the deterioration of the bad apple. What happens? The bad apple ruins the good apple. This is going to sound terrible, and the ladies are going to hate this. You say, we love each other. I don't think you ought to get married just because you love someone. I think you ought to marry somebody that loves God. The emotion of love will lie you right into a mess if you're not careful. You say, what makes for a good marriage? Two people that obey God and do what the Bible says. Now, you say, well, Pastor, shouldn't you love them? Yes, you should love them. But you say, well, love will hold us together. I'm sorry. The truth and right and morality and honesty will hold you together. Who was it? The Captain and Tennille? Did they sing Love? Love will keep us. Thanks, Jerry. I knew you'd know. Love will keep us together. I'll tell you what will keep you together. Obeying God, telling the truth, being honest. And look, if they won't tell the truth and be honest and obey God now, what makes you think they're going to do that later? So I have to tell you, you need to make sure, young people, those of you that are not married, you want to make sure that they love God now. They want to serve God now. That they want to be honest now. That they want to do right now. That they want to be moral now. That they want to tell the truth now. Why? Because if they won't do it now, they're probably not going to do it later either. See, but I've got strong feelings for her. You know, there are people that have strong feelings for things, but they shouldn't have. Could someone have strong feelings for cocaine? Somebody might have strong feelings for it, but your feelings are not supposed to control you. Are there people that have strong feelings for beer? You can have strong feelings for the wrong thing. I mean, there are people that have committed adultery that say, well, I had strong feelings for her or strong feelings for him. Yeah, but it was wrong. Your feelings can do wrong. So what you feel does not set the bar for what you ought to do. There are people that love cigarettes. Is that a smart thing to love? So if you say love is what it's all about, love's a part of it, but you better find somebody that wants to do right and act right and say right and then want to obey God. It's to be a glorious church or a glorious marriage, which means it glorifies God. So, the right mate, young people, is worth waiting for. Don't get in a hurry. Wait for the right one. The whole lesson is marriage and your relationship with the wrong crowd. To the single, be careful. Who you marry is going to change the rest of your life. To the married, who you associate with will change your life, your children's lives, your grandchildren's lives, your great-grandchildren's lives. The associations and the relationships that we share make a big difference in the rest of our lives. That's why he said, I want you to be sanctified in your marriage, set apart. That microphone, we don't tell dirty jokes with it. Matter of fact, it really doesn't get even any good jokes told over it. because it's set apart. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Tonight, we'll have a brief altar call. It won't take a long time, although if it needed to take a long time, we would let it take a long time. Marriages, be careful. Be careful at work. Be careful with who you associate, whether it's on social media or whoever or whatever. Be careful. Those associations could destroy your family. Young people, be careful. Be careful with your relationships. Why? Because God wants you to have a glorious marriage. God wants you to have a sanctified marriage. And your associations will make you or break you in the Christian life. Who here tonight would say, "Preacher, God has definitely spoken to my heart. He's spoken to me tonight." And you'll let God see your hand. Lots of hands. You may put them down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment at the altar, you feel free to come. The pianist is going to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Associations. Associations, oh my. It will determine who you marry. It will determine how you live while you are married. Be careful at work. Be careful with your neighbor. Hey, you even have to be careful with family members. And God knows, I want to love my family and spend time with my family. But there are sometimes I've got to be careful even around my own family. Because they could deteriorate the quality of my Christianity, if you will, or my marriage. I do not think I have ever watched a marriage destroyed that it was not destroyed because of wrong association. I think every marriage I've ever seen destroyed was destroyed because of wrong association. As the piano continues to play, let me tell you something. Ladies, you talk to people that hate their husband and hate their marriage, and you spend your time fellowshipping with that kind of person, you're ruining yourself. You are ruining yourself. Men at work, if all the shots are taken at the wives and it's always immoral talk and everything, you'll destroy yourself being a part of that. Christian marriages are to be different. Mrs. Young.